This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. The agents wrote the copy and managed the timelines, while our human creative director made sure it all made sense. Easy. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah! On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
So the Rockets, up by 18 in the second quarter, lose the lead and the game as the Hornets spoil the Rockets' festivities here on opening night. The final 110-105. Man was with 24 points for them off their bench. LaMelo Ball nearly triple-doubled. He was awesome with 34, 8, and 11. And the Rockets managed to score just 45 points in the second half and shot only 37% from the floor.
Given the expectations for the Rockets this year, which might be a little overdone, last night's loss to the Hornets, who were without Brandon Miller, one of their best players for much of the game, was embarrassing.
Yeah, I don't think the expectations are overdone. This isn't, their over-under was like, what, 42.5?
Mm-hmm.
So to improve over an 82-game season, to improve your win total by two wins, I don't think it's asking a lot. And to beat a bad team like this, because Charlotte's not good. Like, that's why it is. It's a bad loss. Like, now, at the end of the season, like, we'll probably look back at Charlotte. Maybe they start hot and fall apart. But, like, the next time they play, I'll be betting on the Rockets, whatever the number is.
You're more likely at the end of the year to look at this game and say, oh, this is why they're in the play-in tournament. Or, oh, this is why they missed the whole thing entirely.
Yeah. And that's unfortunate because it is the first game of the season. But you will look at the worst teams in the NBA. And if you lose games to them, you'll pinpoint the why you missed your over-under, why you missed the playoffs, why you didn't just make the regular playoffs, whatever it is. Like, we will look back at this like very negatively. So they get a small pass because it's the first game of the season, but it's still Charlotte.
I'm going to read a series of critical comments by, on our Twitch, at ESPN 975, Todd the Show. Todd the Show, very, it seems, annoyed by what we saw last night. A 105-100 loss to the Charlotte Hornets. Ime is grossly overrated. They have no offensive identity. Ime didn't play Cam Whitmore the entire second half. Rockets' depth was supposed to be the strong point of the team, and he didn't utilize anyone. Tari Eason only got 13 minutes.
Okay, so let's start with that last one. Watch some, like, I'm not trying to be mean, Todd, but like, they didn't want to play him more than 5 minutes in a preseason game. He's coming off of a major injury. He's going to play more. It's the first game of the season. People who are, because it's all over social media, people crushing Udoka for Tari Eason only playing 13 minutes. He's going to play a lot more. They're easing him back in. He's coming off a serious injury, in which in the preseason they wouldn't let him be on the court for 5 minutes at a time. So that one will be okay.
I think we have to relax with bench player minutes as a whole. One of the things that has very much frustrated me about the Rockets for the last couple of years is the most diehard Houston Rockets fans have acted like every single player on this team is really good.
Yeah, like Josh Christopher and those guys.
Yeah, and like exactly.
People are thinking, calling Rafael Stone a terrible GM because he had to trade Josh Christopher.
And Usman Garuba. Don't forget Usman Garuba. Ty Washington.
That's who it was.
Ty Washington.
Ty. I think two of those guys are out of the league.
Look, he's a really good role player. I like him. But to what Joe's saying, yeah, he's coming back from injury. Let's settle down on that. But I actually agree with the other complaint that Todd the Show has. He says Jalen Green might be my least favorite basketball player of all time. The amount of Jalen Green defenders is astonishing. At least Jalen, he says sarcastically, got to shoot 15 effing threes. So look, I mean, this year, I guess progress towards being a true contender in the NBA again, barring a trade after the year, is going to be based off of how much better Jalen Green gets. And Green took a lot of shots, which were open from outside last night. But my big frustration is he is not that good of a three-point shooter to be shooting it 15 times. Even if he's open for 15 times, is it possible that he's open for a reason? Something just to keep in mind. I do not believe in this idea that high volume of three-point shots, if the shot is a good shot, is always a good shot. Because if you're not a good shooter, then how is it actually a good shot?
Yeah, because he shoots all the time like he played in March. Like, he always has, like, that March 40% from three mindset. And, like, that's never going to change. That's why, honestly, I'm fine with last night. Take your shots. Prove to me one way or another. Like, put the nail in the coffin and end the controversy. Either you're going to make those shots or you're going to be traded at the end of the season. Like, the more, like, big picture view we get of Jalen Green, because if you're going to win with Jalen Green, he probably needs to shoot 12 to 15 threes a game, but he needs to make 35% of them. And so, I think, like, Todd's complaining about Jalen Green is, like, it's a lot of people feel that way. A lot of people do not like watching Jalen Green play basketball because they don't see the improvement, the consistency, and it's totally fair of why they view him that way, but there's still just so much talent that can't quit him just yet.
Yeah, there was a little bit of I'm just glad that the offense was either Şengün or Jalen Green, because ultimately that's what really matters here is how good those guys are, especially on a night where it's like, what, you want Fred to shoot more? You want Dylan Brooks to shoot more? You want Jabari Smith to shoot more? It's like the offense was going through who it should have gone through with Şengün and with Jalen. They just need to be better. And that's Şengün too, where I feel like we're focusing more on Jalen Green, which is fair, I guess. But he is more, I guess, kind of controversial of a player and got a more controversial contract. But Şengün also was not good in the second half.
Like, no, at he all. Wasn't. He wasn't.
So there, you just need those. You need your young guys to play better, and this is part of taking that step to being all stars. And I don't think any of us said that they could or would be all stars this year. Expect them to be all stars this year, and it's because of nights like this where, hey, you got to close out the Charlotte Hornets. You know, there just has to be one more play, one more shot that goes down, one more behind the back dribble that doesn't go off your foot and directly to Grant Williams, Efren Şengün. Like, there just has to be one, like, a little
that
bit
part.
Little bit tighter on the handle, a little bit tighter with the decision making late in these games.
That
and maybe
play,
box someone out.
That play that you're talking about at the very end, that one was rough. Because, I mean, if you're going to lose, that is an embarrassing way to lose in embarrassing fashion to a team that you shouldn't lose to.
I also thought last night, like, they are going to need Steven Adams. They need some rebounding help.
Yeah. Yeah, on the boards they just weren't good enough on the boards, and some of that is like the Hornets were going small, but they're going small with kind of bigger body guys than Jabari Smith, or even Şengün was getting pushed around a little bit by Grant Williams. So it's a weird thing of their bigs. I mean, Shingun's decent size, but their bigs are thin. And so you can go small and still be stronger than Jabari Smith.
Broadcast made it sound like Şengün has beefed up a ton, though. By the way, do we like the new random broadcast angle that they have during the game? They were hyping that up a bit, where it seems like it's a view from the upper deck.
It's almost like the All-22 of basketball.
Hey, what I say, it's opening night, knock yourselves out. I know by February we're not going to still be doing this because of how bad it is. So, like, I'm not even, like, mad. It's just,
so it's
like,
bad. Okay.
I'm not even mad. It's just, like, obviously this sucks.
They liked it.
The people. Okay.
Craig Ackerman liked it.
On air, he liked it.
He liked it.
He's not going to go, and look at this new angle. Ugh, what are we thinking?
Yeah, I did not.
Bill Worrell would have. Yeah. After he stopped complaining about the refs.
Teflon. Oh, yeah. What did we think of, Ben Foster?
No, there was a moment where I thought Fred VanVleet was going to get teed up because he pointed at the ref, and the ref, I guess, he made a motion. I thought he was about to team up, and he signaled for a timeout to happen because VanVleet had maybe been fouled, and I think it was Jalen Green drove to the rim, gets a bucket, and VanVleet's just pointing at the ref, and I thought for sure in that moment that he had gotten teed up because I heard a whistle. Luckily, it was just a timeout.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted some fireworks.
Yeah, there wasn't really like as far as the other stuff we talked about. Yeah. I think we've covered the serious basketball stuff.
We have.
I thought we were going to get Grant Williams versus Dylan Brooks.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted that so bad.
I forgot that Grant Williams was a Hornet.
Until Paul texted, I was like, oh, we're going to get a fight tonight.
I thought for sure we would get a fight. Because, I mean, who would you rather want to have on your team?
Dylan Brooks.
I think Grant Williams brings whoopee cushions around. Like, Grant, he's that kind of guy.
Grant Williams and Dylan Brooks both got signed to new teams last offseason. Grant Williams only made it like 30 games with the Dallas Mavericks because Luka Doncic was like, get this guy out of here.
He's third team since he signed with them, isn't he?
No, Celtics, Hornets, or Celtics, Mavs for half a season and then Hornets.
Okay, I thought he might have gone somewhere else before he got traded.
No.
Gotcha.
It is Gallant and George. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. ESPN 975 and 925. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, do you buy the positivity? The Texans are pushing on you for their offensive line struggles. Stay put.
Let's talk about LeBurge Lake Charles. We'll be out there the 16th and 17th doing two shows. On Saturday, we'll be on the air, myself, Sean, and Brian, from 12 to 2. And then we'll be on the air Sunday from 10 to noon inside ESPN Bet. Got the 24-foot video wall, 19 betting kiosks, TVs throughout the entire property as well. So that way, if you one of the games you're wagering on is not on the big screen because it's not a highly wanted-to-be-watched game, you can ask very nicely, and they'll probably put it on a TV for you. And you know what? There are a lot of cool people there. We love going there talking to Matt and Russ. They take great care of us. They got great food from Chef Lyle. It's always a good time. I can't wait to get back there for one more trip this season for a full weekend of college football and NFL football on Sunday. When you leave Texas and bet your Texas teams, make sure you do it at ESPN Bet inside the Burge, Lake Charles.
You are back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
So, the Texans' offensive line, not good. The Texans' offense, not good. But they're still optimistic about it. Yesterday, D'Amico Ryans was asked about some of their communication issues. Here is what he had to say.
The communication can definitely pick up, and I think our issues have really shown up on the road when it's loud and, you know, it's tough to communicate. That's where some of the issues come out. But I think all of it is fixable, and that's the encouraging part about it. All of it is fixable. You know, our guys have picked up these stunts and different things that we've seen. Our guys have picked it up before, so I'm encouraged. Right, to see how our guys respond this week. You know, we'll see similar things. Right, whenever one team does something on tape, you know you have to get ready and prepare for the next week because teams will see, like, have you put the fire out? So it's a great opportunity to see us go put the fire out this week. It's a tough challenge versus this defensive line. They do a great job of executing their stunts really well. So we know, you know, we'll have our hands full again this week.
He does sound optimistic that they can fix all of these things. And I'm sorry, D'Amico, I don't share that optimism because yesterday at practice, it was the same exact starting lineup as it was last Sunday. Joe, we discussed this earlier. We thought there were going to be some changes.
Yeah, I thought we might see at least a change at left guard. I guess that's really the only one you'd make. Their Juice Scruggs seems to be firmly planted as the starting center of this team. So you had one option to replace Kenyon Green. You had a bunch of different guys you could do it with. They're clearly not going to do it because if they're telling us the truth, then they really think it's just a simple miscommunication issue and that all this can be solved in 1 week. I don't buy it. I also don't know how much longer they can even tell us that. Like, that's kind of as I was hearing it again, is how many more times can you keep saying this? The same exact way of just, it's communications, we're working on it, they're going to get better. At some point, D'Amico has to change his tune and start to acknowledge like the problem in the room. So I'm surprised that there's no changes. Maybe they'll surprise us though, Paul. Maybe this is a strategy that they don't want to tip their hand to the Indianapolis Colts.
Well, what are they going to do?
Just, I mean, send out a different starting offensive line when the offense takes the field.
I suppose that's the case, but in the part that was open to the media, it's the same starting offensive line as before. And I'm a little annoyed by what I've heard from a couple of different figures on the Texans is that, oh, well, hey, I mean, when we're on the road, it's a little bit more difficult to communicate. Figure it out. Not the only person, D'Amico Ryans, who suggested that. And Sean, sorry to throw this at you last second. Titus Howard, sitting with, I think, Landry Locker, among others, Aaron Wilson, and, you know, the rest of the Texans media. It seems like he was the only player that was available at his locker yesterday. Here's what he had to say about the offensive line's issues of late.
Just when you get out there in the game, you get on the road, we just can't do stuff that we haven't been coached to do. So that's the thing. We went out there and did stuff that we haven't been doing. So that's really just being coachable, being detailed, staying in the moment, man, and just trusting each other. And that's the biggest thing. We got to continue to trust each other, pick each other up when we're down, and just keep balling, man, because, I mean, it's going to be ups and downs and stuff like this, but we got to stay together. And we're going to get it right this week. We're going to ball out. And once we get the ball out, I mean, all the other stuff will take care of itself.
Positivity at the end, Joe.
Yeah. Interesting that they keep bringing up how hard it is on the road, but you guys got to figure it out.
Yeah, you got to figure it out.
Like the Baltimore Ravens, the Kansas City Chiefs, the San Francisco 49ers, the Green Bay Packers, these teams that have had successful playoff runs, I guess Baltimore not as much, but have had successful playoff runs. Like, you have to win games on the road. I mean, Patrick Mahomes went a couple years with having to play road playoff games and not getting the one seed.
C.J. Stroud even said this week, this is one of the older offensive line groups that he's worked with. And it's, you can't play on the road?
Yeah, like that's not an excuse.
I agree.
It's just not.
I agree. And look, I'm if you're a coach, don't throw your players under the bus like Gerard Mayo did. If you're a quarterback, don't throw your team under the bus either. But nothing is changing, and they are trying to tell us it's going to get better. Just trust us. We don't really have any room to trust you right now. Here is C.J. Stroud being asked about what he could learn from all of the pressure that he has faced. He eventually starts talking about the offensive line, and he's got their back, and he wants us to have their back.
Honestly, I mean, I would say, you know, just for me, just getting the ball out on time, being able, you know, to try to stay comfortable after getting hit, and, you know, really just, you know, just trying to make everybody around me better. You know, I got the utmost respect and, you know, a trust in my O-line. You know, one outing doesn't make you a definition. You know what I mean? There's plenty of games that you can go look at the film, and they did an amazing job. You know, so I don't believe in the banter and all this. I don't even see it. I'm not really on social media, but you know, I hear about it, and you know, I just you know, just like you guys beat them down, I want y'all to praise them as well. You know, so this next week, I know that the protection is gonna be great, and I can't wait for it. You know, and you know, I want y'all to do the same thing y'all doing now, and just, you know, be more positive. You know, but same time, it's the league we in. You know, it's, we're not feeling bad for ourselves. We grown men. We can take it. You know what I mean? And I know that they want to be better, and they will.
I have been very positive about this team going into the year and for the most part this season, right? I mean, here I am after the win against the Bills saying, oh, you're too good for this? I have been very positive. I have been swarming up an effing storm. CJ, we'll be positive if there's a reason to be positive. I will come in here, put on my Texans helmet or my Texans starter jacket or both when there is a reason to do that. But I have yet to get my battle red murder. I have not seen it. I have not seen the Texans dissect a team limb from limb that matters yet. It would be nice if I saw it against the Colts. I would be enthused.
I would be enthused with that too. Hearing that quote again, it makes me feel like we are like almost like misconstruing where the audio's from. Like the way he says be positive, I feel like he's talking to his teammates and not to the media. Like I feel like he's trying to say, hey guys, be positive. Like it's okay. The offensive line's gonna figure it out, Stephon Diggs. Don't get mad at them. They'll be better next week. And say he's talking to us and trying to tell us to be positive. I am at my wit's end.
Wit's end?
Of the whole, like, trying to be positive thing. I'll give them one more week of this. You know, I guess two more days and 3.5 hours of I'll be positive when we come back. But I just, if it keeps happening, at some point, you have to, you know, kind of move away from the idea that they're actually going to turn this around. and they're actually going to fix the offensive line. I'm really getting to that point where I'm running out from the idea, running away from the idea that it can be fixed if they don't actually do it.
Yeah, because if they don't like do anything and they don't change anything and they get another bad result from the offensive line, then it really does become the back of the baseball card stuff with the start of the Astros season. Like, it actually then just becomes the, no, Jose Abreu will get, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. Like, that's what it turns into if, again, you just stay positive, don't change anything, and this is a football season, not a baseball season, where you can go, well, it's 1 out of 162. It's like, no, this, all these games actually matter. All these games really do count. You really do need to start changing things and start changing them fast, because you lose on Sunday, and you're not alone in first place of the AFC South anymore. You're tied with the team. So you don't have this huge cushion to be, you know, we'll make it back up in the second half of the season like the Astros did. Like, that, you just don't have that.
Bobby Slowick also talked about the offense today. Here's what he had to say. It's never just one thing. It's shown up three times this season where the issues are completely controllable. It's on me. I need to get it fixed.
Oh, that's one. It's on me for Bobby Slowick.
I find that interesting that, like, three times it's happened. Okay, so.
Feels like it's happened more than three times,
then,
to be honest.
Why has it happened three times, Bobby?
It's on him.
They're on the road.
Minnesota. Green Bay.
Who else have they played on the road this year? The Colts?
They played the Colts on the road.
Maybe it's the Colts.
There's another one. Oh, they play the Patriots on the road. Weird. The Patriots road game, they didn't have any trouble.
Not a lot of people there.
Whoa.
No one's going.
Whoa, wait.
No one's going.
So they can do it on the road,
no
Titus Howard?
No one's going. Okay? I get it. I get it.
It's just when they're yelling and on the road. That's the problem.
When there's anyone there.
Yeah, but that happens at the home games, too. Since, you know, people sell their tickets.
Yeah. You have Bears fans showing up and being loud.
Timeout. I'm standing up to hatred. You guys are hating on the Texans.
Oh, are we not being positive enough?
You're not being positive.
No,
enough.
No. Sorry, CJ. You gotta earn my positivity, CJ.
I'm not being sarcastic at all. I also just saw the commercial of this timeout against hatred.
Are you giving me a solemn Doc Rivers one?
A very solemn one.
By the way, I noticed in that commercial, this is a little bit of a diversion. Doc Rivers is already in the middle of a timeout when he puts up the timeout hand motion. He has a team around him.
That's,
he's sitting on the bench with a clipboard.
Attack.
And then he gives the solemn timeout.
Galan and George, Sean behind the glass. Joe,
oh, we're
right.
Taking a timeout from
we're taking Matrix. A timeout. We're taking a timeout from hating on the timeout commercial. That's so cringe. Not as bad as the one where men are being spoken to, like almost talked out. Whatever. We're not doing it. We're trying to be consistent here. Up next, the Texans added Devin White. What does D'Amico Ryans have to say about him? What does CJ Stroud have to say about him? And how far is too far? Stay put.
Your home for Texas A&M Athletics is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Kick 'em. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Excited to get Devin in here. We'll work with him and see where he is. Right, try to get him caught up to speed to see, you know, if he can help us. So it's this opportunity for Devin to compete, come in, learn how we do things, and see how he can fit in and how he can help us.
That's D'Amico Ryans talking about new linebacker Devin White. By the way, guys, your beloved Cougs are taking on the Utah Utes Saturday, 6 p.m. at TDECU Stadium. It's homecoming, that's right. These Utes don't know what's coming for them. Who do they think they are? They play football in Utah. We play football in the great state of Texas. So get ready for a night of thrilling plays, hard-hitting action, and unforgettable moments, because nothing beats the tradition, pageantry, and the roar of the crowd at a college football game. Rawr, rawr, rawr. Tickets Start at just $15. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS. Come early, be loud, and wear red as we pack the stadium for homecoming. And guess what? You're getting some tickets. Caller number three. Show your Cougar pride and support the team with a pair of tickets. 713-780-3776. Again, 713-780-ESPN. Caller three. You're going to the game.
Isn't this Zach Wilson's little brother starting this game for Utah?
Whoa.
It sure is. Isaac Wilson coming to town.
But he didn't go to BYU?
No, house divided.
Yeah. Well, this is a big deal. Utah versus BYU. It is called the Civil War in that state. For the
Holy War.
No, Holy War. My bad. Yeah, even worse. Even worse. Sorry, we don't want to rekindle some of the embers of the absolutely horrible Twitch discourse from earlier today.
Yeah, a bunch of clowns. Yeah, it just makes me laugh. It's a little Zach Wilson. He's not very good.
He's not? You well, big Zach Wilson wasn't very good either.
He was fun. He was good in college. He was a lot of fun in college. Oh, he was fun at BYU.
Yeah. Where did he play again?
BYU.
There you go.
BYU's ranked this year, though. They're pretty highly ranked.
Yeah.
I know.
I don't believe that.
The Big 12.
Cougs by 100 on Saturday.
Big 12 BYU? Yeah, Big 12.
Yeah, they are in the Big 12 now.
Sorry to keep track of.
They used to be independent.
That's the way you should go.
God.
Syracuse should try it.
Syracuse was independent.
I know they were. Very
long time. That's when we were good, was when we were independent.
See? Bring it back.
The last time I think we were undefeated before that puss, Pat Tye of Auburn, went for a tie against us. We would have been undefeated back in 1986, but no one talks about that. Anyway, hey. D'Amico Ryans, he's so excited about Devin White. Or is he? Here's D'Amico Ryans talking more about the newest Houston Texan.
There's no secret that Devin has been an all-pro top linebacker in his league coming out of college. He was, you know, kind of a no-miss player. He went top 10 in the draft. I mean, he was an exceptional talent. So what happened and why he's here, you know, no one knows. Like, life happens to us all. You just have to keep punching, keep attacking each day with the right mindset, and with opportunity for Devin is to come in here and compete, right? Again, nothing's promised. We don't know what the future holds. It's just one day at a time, compete every day, and we'll see where we end up.
It sounds like the speech that Rocky was giving to his screw-up son at the end of Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
Life happens. You gotta get up. You gotta keep fighting, kid.
No one knows what happened.
Hey, well, I don't know who I am. I forgot my wife's name for all the brain damage. You gotta keep going, kid.
I would hope that, you know, D'Amico, who played for the Eagles, would has somebody in the building he can call and be like, hey, man, why'd this guy never play? That was, didn't expect that to be the audio we heard.
He says a bunch of generic, typical D'Amico stuff, and all of a sudden, a lot of things happen in life. And it sounds like he's Rocky Balboa.
Not what
I
thought we were getting.
I like the answer. And hey, I mean, I do hope it works out for Devin White. I just feel like his entire track record as a pro suggests, especially the last 2 years, that he's not the best teammate. Maybe it's different here. I saw today Devin White said D'Amico had called him, I guess, a couple of times. And C.J. Stroud's a big Devin White fan. This is C.J. Stroud in the offseason on that Micah Parsons podcast that he does with him, talking about the moment he realized that he was fast.
I knew I was low-key, like, decently fast when I was running with Devin White. I made a miss. Because, like, he's somebody I really respected coming into the league. Like, it's how quick and fast he was and how he like, had sure tackles.
Devin, you see
and we
what
played
you-
him.
Devin, you see what you just did, bro?
No, it's just that's a respect. That's respect. And when I made a miss, first, like the second play of the game, he came hot, and I was hot, and I didn't have nothing to throw, so I made a miss. And then we did. Me and Devin Singletary had a flea flicker. Devin Singletary, I handed to my guy. He get hit in the backfield. I go out with him. Hey, throw it, motor. He pitched it to me. Me and Devin White going toe to toe. I step out of bounds.
Or CJ, you're not fast, and it means Devin White is also not fast.
That's exactly what I thought. It's like, oh, okay, well.
He's CJ, like, I'm fast.
CJ thinks he's fast because he outran Devin White. Well, maybe Devin White isn't the fastest linebacker that he used to
be. I mean, CJ, we've been watching you run since you were at Ohio State. Not fast.
Not that slow, though.
He's, not like slow.
Surprisingly
slow.
Athletic.
But not, I wouldn't call him fast.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd beat him in a race. He probably would beat me.
He probably would beat you.
Probably.
CJ Stroud,
yeah,
40.
Yeah, I was going to say, he ran a 40 not that long ago.
What was the 40?
4.74.
Okay. Yeah, that's about it. My apex was probably around that. So I don't run that.
Well, maybe Jarrod Johnson can teach you and shave a couple tenths of a second off.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Oh, cleats in the mail.
Cleats are in the mail.
Well, we can't know until you get the cleats.
Once I order them today, and then I'll procrastinate to tomorrow. We do this every single week. A Joe George special. How far is too far? Bells and whistles.
Well, yeah. How far we've come? How far is too far?
Oh.
I feel like it goes together a little bit.
Okay.
All right. We've got a retirement. Karina Koff has retired from OnlyFans.
Who?
Her name's Karina.
Karina what?
Koff.
K-O-P-F?
Yes.
All right.
This is why it's important.
Unfamiliar with her work.
Well, she made $67 million a year doing OnlyFans.
$67 million a year?
A year.
She makes over max contract a year? An NBA max?
I need to research.
She makes more than Steph Curry a year?
$2.3 million a month. She's retired.
Okay. She's attractive.
How much? How far?
Okay. Thank you for checking.
How far is too far for how much an OnlyFans model should be making? Is $67 million too much money?
I'm a big believer in the American dream, and I don't think there's any cap that you can put on a strong, independent woman and request to be financially independent.
Okay.
How about that, you sexist pig?
Sean?
Look at you. You're like, oh, there should be a cap on what you should make.
I didn't say there should be a cap.
You want to, you sound like tax the rich here.
I'm more talking about the losers who pay for it. We're giving
wait. How much is he charging per person?
That's a great question.
Per person, per month.
But $67 million?
That's so many people.
Showing the goods?
We don't know. We don't know if she's showing the goods.
It's true. We don't know.
It's behind a paywall. How could we know?
Could be a scam.
I credit her for doing it for 3 years. Imagine making like $25 million and being like, I need to make three times this much.
What happens when you're done, though? Does that mean that people can post all the stuff that they got from you? I know that there are generally strict rules. I'm assuming that's why they are subscription-based and why these videos do not find their way to the websites is because there are strict rules about repurposing these. But doesn't it all, once you're done, I would imagine there's a chance that this all becomes
like
public.
Fine print.
But maybe like that's where like OnlyFans steps in.
Yeah.
Like because I imagine they're the ones that are striking stuff down
for now, but I mean that's what I wonder. This is what you wonder about after OnlyFans. Like, can you ever have kids without this being something they know about?
No,
and probably see.
They're gonna see it. Google,
I mean,
them, like,
but for this girl, it's like, so what? I mean, $65 million.
Yeah, like they won't
like
care.
Oh no, there's pictures of me on the internet.
They might be
like,
doing it too.
Like, hey, this is how you got honestly your Ferrari at 16.
Yeah, it's
get
like, oh,
it.
Sorry. Well, sorry, I wasn't doing something else.
I mean, Kim Kardashian's kids, like, they're gonna find
that's,
it.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
Like,
there's just a lot more with this one, I'm guessing.
True.
Hey, look,
it's probably more impressive.
But my question, what do you do after you retire at, like, 22 from this?
Move to another country so no one recognizes.
Podcast, I guess.
Yeah,
that's exactly what you do.
Talk to a podcast.
I'm sure a podcast.
Start a podcast.
It's next. All right, we'll
how far is too far?
A sportsy one.
More sportsy than that one? Okay.
Definitely.
She's an athlete.
Some would say.
I think adult film stars and strippers are athletes.
Will it be in the Olympics?
I'd watch it.
If breakdance is in the Olympics?
Hey, it's going to be in L.A.
I'd definitely watch it.
It's going to be in L.A. Just go to the Valley.
Competitive banging.
I was thinking more of the strippers, but...
Keep going, Joe. Sorry, I sidetracked you.
It's okay.
How far is too far?
All right, we've got one coach fired in the NFL this year.
Not far enough.
Will there be four coaches fired this season? By in the offseason.
In the offseason. Yeah. Not by the end of the year.
Before the next coaching cycle.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's almost, it's 4 to 8 every single offseason.
Six.
Six, I don't think that's too far.
Not this year. There's a lot of bad going on.
Eight
probably is where I draw the line.
Yeah, eight's too far.
I think
6, 7, 8 is 6 to 8 is probably the range because we already have the one open. Jags, see ya. What's another super fire coach? Philly. We'll see how one of Philly and Dallas should open.
Yeah,
if not both, but definitely one of them is going to be open.
Patriots possibly.
But I mean, by the end of the week, if you listen to the guy that we mentioned earlier.
Raiders?
Yes.
Antonio Pierce, one-hit wonder?
I think now that Brady's a part owner and he's seeing what he's seeing.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he was
especially if they want to bring Belichick back. The wild card for the Belichick return.
I still think there's a chance that Dan Quinn is the longest tenured head coach in the NFC East at the start of next season because all three coaches get fired from the other teams.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Like Giants, Eagles, Cowboys, like they all just wipe them.
Not looking great for Dennis Allen.
Yep, Dennis Allen. Matt Eberflus, I think it's still.
Mayo apparently is not guaranteed a second year in New England.
Why didn't they interview anyone?
He was the head coach in waiting longer than he might be the head coach.
Well, they did check off the Rooney Rule.
Did they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they interviewed him.
Did they interview?
That's all they had to interview.
Did they interview a white man? That's what you're asking?
That's what I'm asking.
No, you don't have to.
You don't have to?
No, you don't have. Based off the Rooney Rule, you could theoretically just interview a minority head coaching candidate, and that's it. You don't have to interview anybody else. But if there's a head coach that you like who's white, you have to interview somebody else just to check that box.
It's so
which
hard.
Isn't disrespectful so hard. At all to those
so
other guys.
So hard to
applying.
Be a white coach. So hard to be a white coach.
I'm not
coach.
Saying that. I'm just saying it's kind
a white
of ridiculous.
Man, really.
If you want a guy, hire the guy. You're a corporation.
Yeah. Anyone in the West? Rams?
Like no.
No.
McVay might retire.
That, yeah.
That's always a possibility.
But Niners, no. Gannon, probably not.
With the Cardinals? No. Yeah, they're frisky. They're just frisky enough.
Yeah, and this is only year two, right?
Did we say Carolina?
Mike McDonald's in his first year. I think Canales is definitely on the table, especially with how overreactive Dave Tepper is. For sure.
They really shouldn't, but they might.
We said three coaches who got hired this last offseason might get fired.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, I wouldn't mind any of it.
Nick Listen, Casario, Trent Setter.
Yeah, it worked eventually.
It worked. Just keep reshuffling the deck. Keep firing.
Look, there are two teams who did it that way, and it's worked out pretty well for them. The 49ers, they fired Harbaugh. Then they had Jim Tom Sula for a year, fired him. Had Chip Kelly for a year, fired him. And then they got Kyle Shanahan. And the Texans did the same thing from Bill O'Brien to David Culley to Lovie Smith to D'Amico Ryans. Worked out. Just keep firing guys. I mean, we need more of that in sports.
Just firing people?
Yeah, I think I know there's a lot of cheap organizations that just like want to give everyone a chance to, or they don't want to pay out contracts.
Yeah.
But, oh, Zach Taylor.
I know probably not. They'll probably make the playoffs.
Yeah, probably. Probably beat the Texans in the first round.
Hey.
Huh?
That's rude.
Damn, dude.
There's no need for that. D'Amico Ryan?
Bengals never beat the Texans on a Saturday at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
D'Amico Ryan?
Fired? He's on the hot seat. That's
Bobby Slowick?
Bobby Slowick out. Sorry.
That's why I hope there's like 10 openings. Bobby Slowick's definitely gone if that happens.
So there we go. How far is too far? It is Golan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. We've got a little garbage time before we wrap things up. Stay put.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Last chance to dance, Gallant and George. He's Joe, I'm Paul, Sean behind the glass. Before we get into garbage time, did you know that much like in the Tony Danza hit movie, the field goal kicking, garbage picking, Philadelphia phenomenon starring Tony Danza. The city of Houston doesn't have just Kaimi Fairbairn booting the ball at a high success rate. You've also got Lions kicker Jake Bates. Did you know that the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week was a bricklayer in Houston before the Lions gave him that kick?
Wow.
Shout out.
Wow, he was laying bricks.
Jake Bates.
I thought that was just Fred VanVleet last night.
Oh, damn.
And Jalen Green.
was he kicking bricks through a
that's why he's dead.
Goalpost constructed with bricks?
Kicking a ball, it's so much easier.
A lot easier.
Yeah.
Literal steel toe.
Yeah, that's crazy. That
Very cool story. I heard that this week.
Yeah, that he seems like he's one of the better kickers in the league, and he was just out on the streets.
There was a moment, I believe, in a press conference this week from Dan Campbell, where Campbell said he would let him try to kick a 76-yard field goal.
Oh, wow.
I really hope he does that.
I like that.
Now, I don't believe Dan Campbell when he says that, because Dan Campbell has faked punts at his own 30.
That's why I kind of believe it. Like, if he's going to go for it, like, going for, like, a nearly 80-yard field goal.
If he does that, he officially is just me when I was 12 years old playing Madden.
Yeah.
That's just how he coaches. Because that 76.
I just want to know what the Cowboys are going to do. They don't got a kicker anymore.
That's true, because what's his name again?
Brandon Aubrey.
Brandon Aubrey's got jury duty for a felony case.
You would think that, like, in Texas, you could get out of it.
Well, I'm sure that releasing his name has been some sort of effort to get him out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's too public of a figure or something like that. But I want to get back to Jake Bates. Soccer player at Central Arkansas. Never attempted a field goal in college. And then he hits the field goal to help the Lions beat the Vikings on Sunday.
How do you start after college? You're just like, I'm going to pick this up.
I think he was a
brick salesman, actually. Not even a brick layer.
Oh, okay. So Fred VanVleet's job is still
Are you selling all his bricks to Fred VanVleet?
He's got the money.
And Jalen Green.
So he must have been the
Brooks.
He must have been the kickoff specialist, right? If it's yes. He never kicked a field goal yes. in college.
He was named first team All SEC as a kickoff specialist in 2022.
Gotcha. Okay. Texas State, and then Arkansas.
He signed with the Texans.
How do we let him out?
The hometown Texans gave him a shot in training camp. He didn't make the team, but he made it to the Panthers.
The Michigan Panthers.
Michigan Panthers of the UFL.
Yeah, let's clarify that.
And he drilled his last year, signed a contract Christmas Day, hit a 64-yard field goal in his debut. Jeez, that's crazy.
I mean,
yeah.
9 for 9 his first 5
games.
They
should make a movie out of this guy.
Honestly, I agree. Boomstick. I agree. Is this going to be better than the Zachary Levi one about Kurt Warner? I would hope so.
Is it going to be better than the Vince Papale story?
Hey, that one was good.
I do like that one.
I like that one. I like how he figures out how to play football again by playing pickup
in a
mud bowl with, like, cars as the sidelines.
That's what we need, so quarterbacks don't run out of bounds. Put cars on the sidelines.
I like that.
So NFL Street.
We went from
comparing it to Arena League to now it's like, actually, let's make it NFL Street.
Hell yeah.
But for real life.
Let's do some garbage time. Oh, I love trash.
I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Remember that Ravens fan who beat up a couple of Commanders fans? Well, per his attorney, he was just on a cocaine and alcohol bender.
No. But he was... Really? You'd think he'd be acting more rational.
You would. He was arrested earlier this week. I believe he was arrested Monday, facing first-degree aggravated assault and 3 counts of second-degree assault charges. This guy is the worst. Was already on probation for a misdemeanor assault. Put his genitalia on a special needs student in high school. Oh, my God. What? Was kicked out of high school for wearing an inappropriate costume. Sent an explicit Snapchat to a girl in college who printed it and hung it all over the dorms as she alleges that he raped her. So this guy, one of the worst people ever. So move aside DJ Khaled.
Yeah.
That's Jack Callis. He was on a cocaine and alcohol bender. I can't believe that's real.
I'm sure DJ Khaled's like, great.
This is so horrible.
Thank God I'm number two to this guy. Whose lawyer, his defense lawyer was like, no, Your Honor.
He was on a cocaine and alcohol bender.
It's never good.
Also, this more from his attorney.
Oh, God.
He's got one of the most recognizable faces in the country right now. There's no way this kid can go anywhere, even if he was inclined to. And he's clearly indicated to this court that he is not inclined to flee, but inclined to come back here and face the charges. And he did.
Congrats to him.
Scumbag. He faced your face the music.
For not committing another felony.
He criticized prosecutors for overcharging the case. As ugly as the video is, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's not. These are punches. No one pulled out a gun. No one pulled out a knife. No one beat someone with a billy club.
I mean, that is true.
That's true.
No one did that.
They didn't knock him out.
But if anyone did do that, it would probably be your defendant.
The guy on a cocaine and alcohol bender, yes. Yeah. Anyway, on that note, good God. That is garbage. He is garbage. Galan and George is done. Thanks to Sean Mapes and Joe George. I am really Paul Galan. Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.